Continuity Confessionals.
Hey, do you remember MASH?
Yes. Getting that chopper's out of here, hey?
Yeah, what was that guy's name again? Radar.
Radar.
Was he psychic?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, he was just intuitive.
I think, yeah.
Okay. How about Klinger?
Yeah, he cross-dressed.
He's from Toledo.
Because he's trying to go home. He's always talking about...
Oh, right. That's why he cross-dressed.
Yeah, he was trying to get sent home.
Because back then, that was considered mentally unstable?
Yeah. And they're like, no.
Man, times have changed, though, hey?
Yeah.
For the better, we'll say.
MASH.
MASH, dude.
Suicide is painless.
What? The story behind that song, though.
It's a sad song.
What was the story behind it again? It was somebody's son or... John Carpenter?
I don't know. I don't know.
Do I ever know?
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
Welcome to the Props Cast.
Welcome home. That's our new thing.
What?
You say welcome to the Props Cast,
and I say, welcome home.
But okay. In that like smooth radio coffee mug voice.
Okay.
So do it again.
Welcome to the Props Cast.
Welcome home. I'm telling you, it works, man.
It's no, cool. You know what it should be? I should say, this is the Props Cast, and then you can say
welcome. Okay, try it again.
And this is the Props Cast.
Welcome home.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be a hit.
It's the audio equivalent of a cup of cocoa.
That's what I'm saying.
Welcome home.
Dude, I like... Why not, man?
Welcome home.
Okay, so what are we even doing? I'm tired. Clayton's tired.
I'm tired.
I know it's
you
crazy.
You have more of an excuse for being tired, but I just...
Do I, though? I almost died. I almost died last night a couple times.
Dude, you know, on a serious note.
Yeah.
Driving home after a night shoot.
Yeah.
That's scary, dangerous biz, man.
Yeah, like I fell asleep at the wheel for a split second and almost smashed into the back of a white Nissan Murano. Fun.
It's always a white Nissan Murano.
They're always in the way, man, those Nissans. Get out of there.
Get out of there, you goddamn jackass.
No, but on a serious note, that would have been bad because this podcast would not have been recorded today if I died. Or maybe you just replace me.
I would just do both parts.
Oh, yeah? Just do them separately?
I'm Clayton.
And I'm Jordy.
Maybe I'm doing both parts right now.
You need props to imitate me.
Yeah, I need a vape.
You need a vape prop.
Bro, guy, listen. I try to, because you have a raspier voice than me.
Do I?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So last episode, we had some emails, but I didn't read them because we were so excited about 90s movies.
Yeah, we really were.
So here I have, so this is, we have four emails.
Okay, but give it a little backstory.
What?
We got some emails.
Yeah.
And we talked about it in the last episode, but we didn't read them. But today.
I just said all that.
Clayton's going to read
it. We have four emails, two of which are from my parents.
Yeah.
One of which is from my sister, mm-hmm. and one is from Allison, who's kind of like. Also a family member in a way.
Totally. She's our auntie.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Okay. Should I read the whole thing from Allison? I read it to you earlier.
It's hilarious.
Allison Hunter, script supervisor to the stars, writes us and says, the subject line is, I'm fucking emailing you losers. She says.
Oh, man.
I should have just read it to you on the podcast, but what the fuck, no emails? What is wrong with people? I'm gonna start the Props Cast fan club. Old continuity broad, hanky up cardigan sleeve, number one Props Cast fan t-shirt, boobs like the granny from Playboy, dowager's hump, a haze of gold bond powder. You get the picture.
Jeez.
Today I'm listening to you dudes while I'm packing a million bags in the Vancouver pad here for months.
Yeah, she's here doing Get Shorty.
Reed Don Henley, I can't remember what episode we were talking about Don Henley about.
Neither can I at all.
She says, I think it was Don Henley, one of the Eagles anyway, traveled with golf clubs because a hollowed-out golf club is a great place to stash the accoutrement you will need while working on location. Maybe not a repeatable story since it came from someone who worked with him, but little known Don Henley fact. Mostly, I wanted to send a token email so you two aren't Billy fucking no mates.
Fair enough. I mean, she does have a point there. We are kind of Billy no mates.
This next email is from my mother, by the way.
Happy Mother's Day. To all the mothers out there.
To all you moms.
We love you.
And mums.
Thank you for being moms.
I had brunch with my mom today because she's unavailable for brunch tomorrow.
Really?
Tight. She's got a tight social schedule.
Oh, wow.
She's, yeah.
Bridge club.
Maybe.
Possibly. Okay, what'd she say?
Is it, this is from my mom. Is it just me or does every show have a mandatory vomit scene? How do you guys deal with vomit? Signed, curious and grossed out in Burnaby. My mom hates vomiting in.
And not every show has vomit.
Well, it's funny because when she sent me that email, then I watched an episode of What We Do in the Shadows, and there's
a big vomiting scene.
There's two vomit scenes.
I mean, people vomit in life.
Yeah,
you know, it happens more than other things.
Funny. Remember, hey, you know what? You should tell about vomit in 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh yeah, yeah. We made vomit on that one.
Do you remember when Dan had the vomit tasting?
The big vomit tasting session, yeah. That show, we did some high-end things on that.
He made like three or four
different
formulas.
Vomits. Yeah.
For what's her, what was
what
her
were
name?
They for Dakota Johnson?
I was there when he did it with her, and I know one. I can't remember what it was. He was like, "This is oatmeal and methicyl." He said
oatmeal and milk and with like cranberries and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then he was like, with just a little bit of honey for taste.
For sweetness.
Just, that's what he said, with honey for taste. And I was like, Jesus, that's not a wine.
That's the thing about Dan Sissons though, man, is that's what he does.
That was great. My mind was blown. And she was like, oh wow.
But Dan will do that. He'll be like, we're going to have a vomit taste test for the actor. It's like, okay, man.
Yeah. Sometimes we end up doing vomit and you just kind of give the actor a mouthful of...
Whatever. Can be whatever, really.
Something that looks kind of mushed up. And
pea soup, whatever, or mushroom soup. Oatmeal does work, though.
It does, because it has that consistency.
Sometimes I take, like, for breakfast, I'll eat, like, scrambled eggs, cottage cheese, and oatmeal together, and it looks straight up like puke. And I'm like,
but you mean
my
like
puke plate
as your breakfast?
That's like my actual breakfast.
Yeah. And you're like, this looks like great puke.
Yeah, but I kind of like it.
So sometimes if they want like a big, big puke thing, they run a little tube up the sleeve.
Yeah.
So if you ever see like on a show and they put their hand up to their mouth, that's them holding the tube up to where their mouth is, and the tube is running down the sleeve, and some goof is pumping it with a Hudson spray.
Or they'll just put it right beside their face and just shoot it from the
side.
That's
what I mean.
50-50.
But the tube.
But I've seen it where it's just right beside their face.
Yeah.
You can tell. I mean, that's more of
a comical
version of it, right?
I don't like that.
The best puke scene, though, in any movie.
Super Troopers.
Really? I was going to say Team America.
Oh, puppet. Yeah. It just keeps going.
And then they did the crane shot. I remember reading about that show and those guys were talking about how difficult it was.
You were telling me about that.
Was I saying it on the podcast? How
no.
I did that story, I was like, did I say this on the podcast?
No, it was something that you and I talked about like when we were first becoming friends.
Please forgive us, everybody, if we repeat ourselves.
Oh, dude, it's going to happen forever.
Because we're not really that interesting and we don't have that many stories to tell. So there might be some double ups.
So, okay, the next email is from my dad. He writes,
Gary
writes, why is it so difficult for actors in quotation marks to convince me that they're acting,
what?
That there is actual content within the coffee cups that they pretend to be drinking? I measure an actor's worth by this action and many fail the test, ruining their credibility.
Wow.
Here's an idea. Don't have a coffee in the scene if you can't act it. Maybe that should be the audition for the part. Let's see you coffee scene.
That's so good, dude. But usually there is stuff.
He's so put out. I know what he's talking about, though.
When there's nothing in the
cup. When you have the empty takeout cup.
And people just do the fake. Yeah, it does look bad. It looks fake.
Because there's no weight to it, right? And there's no weight. They swig it way too high.
And they make that swallowing sound too loud. It's gross. No, but you know what else looks bad is when people, when they're not smokers in real life,
They
have to smoke in a scene. Oh, God.
Winona Ryder in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I was like, don't do it. You're not a smoker. I can tell.
Because the way they hold it.
I don't even smoke and I can tell.
No, yeah, exactly.
It just looks awkward.
It's like anything, man. You can't fake that.
But I also like, going back to the coffee cups thing, is like, you know, when you have the guy coming into the office and he's got the tray of four coffee cups.
Yeah, and it's so light.
And he just goes like, bloop. And it sort of slides across the table.
You know what has a really bad of that is Legally Blonde.
Oh, yeah.
With Reese Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. There's a scene where she comes into the office, to some office or whatever, and she's like, hi, everybody. She's holding this four
yeah, cup by chair. The, like, by the
yeah, and she's end swinging corner. It around and
yeah.
Hey, talking, and it's like upside down. It's like, what do you got in there, blizzards?
Yeah, you should have about 48 ounces of liquid in between those
four. Oh, and they're very cups. Precarious. Like, if you're doing it, you're holding it. Like,
oh, yeah. If you've ever carried four coffees,
but
it's like you're
carrying. Let's be real with people right now. Let's maybe tell some things right now. A lot of times we don't put coffee into coffee cups. We don't put actual stuff into backpacks. We don't put, you know, real bullets in the guns.
Well, we definitely don't do that.
We definitely don't do that.
I was just doing the backpack thing. We've got in the show, we've got backpacks, you know, the old backpack
that have nothing in them.
Just and
wine skins.
You got to find that balance, right?
Because you do.
Sometimes if you got it just foam in there, it looks bad because it's too light. But then you put too much weight in there and the actors are like, no way.
I still like to use other bags. My favorite is to stuff bags with other bags. I don't know why.
Sometimes I put the double of the bag inside.
Yeah,
the bag.
Dude, because then you have two.
But then you lose them both at the same time.
Yeah, true. Okay, but this is a great segue.
There's one more email. Should I read it? Oh,
sure.
But it is a great
segue. No, yeah, read the one from Amanda. I want to hear it.
I should have read that one first. Props. It's short. Props cast question. Just wondering how many shows have Clayton and Jordy worked on together. Which one was the first?
Oh. How many have we done?
Well, we did Zapped.
Yeah.
Grace Point. Olympus.
Yeah.
Confirmation. 50 Shades, kind of. I wasn't on that full time.
What will this call it? Call it that.
Monsterville.
How many are we at?
Deadpool. Six?
Seven? That's it?
Have we done anything else? And then I day called for you.
We did Continuum. So eight.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, quite a few.
Yeah. 8 to 10.
Colony, kind of.
Colony, yeah, sure.
Take Two, kind of.
Yeah. Could say. I mean, we've put in some hours
to answer your question. A few.
8 to 10.
When the first was Zapped.
Zapped.
Is that what it's called?
With Zendaya.
With Zendaya, who's, what is she on now? She's like,
just, I don't know. She does something. Wasn't she in The Greatest Showman or?
Yeah, she's on some show.
She's quite famous now. She's really nice, too.
She was really nice.
Yeah.
That when we first started shooting that, it was like the first week and it was my birthday. And she was like, it's your birthday. And she started singing happy birthday and everyone started singing. And then nobody knew who they were singing for because it was like the day three.
I remember when I first met you, I thought you were so weird.
I am so weird. Oh, she was in Spider-Man Homecoming.
That's right. She's in Spider-Man Homecoming.
And
I knew that.
And she's in the new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, good for her.
Dude, that Spider-Man Homecoming, that was a good movie.
There she is. Boom, look at that. There she is with,
what's with his name? Spider-Man himself.
Tom Holland.
Holy smokes.
Okay, coffee cups, though.
Yeah, coffee cups.
We're a little bit late to the punch because it occurred on a Sunday.
But people are still talking about it.
That's right. The old Game of Thrones coffee cup.
I don't think that was right.
It was. You had it at the beginning, but then you went off on your own. That's all right.
You ever seen the one with cats? They did like a cat one. Meow, 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 meow. So good. Okay, but let's talk about it, man, because
let's talk about prop
stuff.
Yeah, and it's rare when a continuity mistake on a TV show makes headline news.
Well, it's rare that it makes headline news, but here's the thing about this particular coffee cup.
You're already getting upset.
I mean, because I'm like, okay, how did they not see it when they shot it? Because it goes through a bunch of lines of defense, right?
It yeah, that's the obviously thing,
the
right?
props guys whose job it is. I know in England they do it a bit differently. However,
well, in England, props is props and set deck. So,
but isn't there like dressing props or something?
Yeah, there's stand, there's like standby props, and hand props.
Yeah. So whoever's job that was, I mean, nothing against the guy, because as we're going to talk about later in the show, me and Clayton have both fucked up some pretty serious things in some movies. But, okay, so you didn't notice it when it was right in the shot. Because have you seen the picture? You've seen the still.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's like front and center. Like, it's not even like it's in the back on like a countertop. It's right in the shot, like huge.
It's hard to find one now because everyone's been
memeing it
and like changing it.
Oh, God.
So someone's photoshopped it that Daenerys is holding it in her hand.
Yeah, but anyways, it's right in the frame. So yeah. The props guys missed it. The script supervisor missed it.
There it is. That's the full frame. Because a lot of them, they've cropped it.
Right.
Because she's sort of in the background.
I mean, that's...
It's pretty...
it's not front and center, but still.
It's pretty obvious.
Like, hello. Then they didn't notice it in post.
That's the thing that gets me.
They didn't notice it with like whoever producer or whoever else, because you know somebody at HBO watches the final cut before it's aired.
Yeah.
They didn't notice it then. They didn't notice it when they were doing color timing. They didn't notice it. Like how many people didn't see it? 50 yeah. people probably?
Yeah.
And then they aired it. That's what's weird to me, is it's one thing to miss it on set, but it's another thing to fucking miss that. Because if it was like... that's the thing. It's all in context, right? Because if it's a continuity mistake, usually people just won't notice. But if it's like a coffee cup that obviously doesn't exist in the Game of Thrones world, that's like a big thing.
Yeah.
So they couldn't just get away with it, you know? Because if they would have noticed it, they would have just painted it out.
Yeah, because...
Simple fix.
Because it's a static object on a tabletop. Yeah. That's an easy fix.
Like if it was like one deep guy in the background who had, you know, contemporary glasses on, you'd be like, oh, whatever, fuck, you know, nobody will notice that, right? But it's like,
yeah, it's pretty.
Was it actually a Starbucks cup?
It's kind of hard to tell, but I mean, it does look like a Starbucks cup. It's got the brown sleeve
and the white top.
There's a circular. I feel like a Blade Runner here. I'm like, enhance, quadrant 672, enhance. It's got the circular logo that's kind of shielded with a brown cardboard sleeve.
Starbucks cup to me, though, does it?
No, it's just a takeout cup from, I mean, who knows where they shot it, right?
It's probably like a Van Hoot from Husky.
That's twice you've used that. Van Hoot. Yeah, anyway.
And also, I don't know that girl's name, but the actress.
Emilia Clarke.
Possibly it was.
It's possible.
Okay,
it's
so let's
right next to her.
Let's get into telling people about what it's
not
like.
Sitting next to her though. It's sitting in at the chair beside her.
But she never noticed it.
Yeah, but you know, actors, they're not thinking about.
I know,
that
and
stuff,
let's
right. They're let's, not looking at the frame. First,
they're
of all.
Not. No,
she's probably sitting there being like, "I'm off camera. I'm just here to do my lines."
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, okay, and let's tell people that.
Or here's another. Okay, I have a whole bunch of. Hypotheses
no, but first,
about what happened.
First, I just want to tell people that for anybody out there who of our listeners, which there's probably like two people, but who don't work in film, it's very chaotic on a film set. Like
super
it's
chaotic.
Not as calculated as people think. It's very run and gun. Things happen. They start rolling. You're not ready. Somebody's not ready. Things do get less.
Something changes at the last second.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're looking a certain way that they weren't before. It's very, very chaotic. And these mistakes can happen. Mm-hmm. So whoever made the mistake or any mistake on any movie, don't just be the first to say that they're an idiot or something, because who knows? Who knows the story?
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know what was going on. And you know what? If anyone is out there who knows the real story,
give us an email.
Give us an email and we'll read it. We'll jump to your defense.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be cool, actually, if somebody who worked in Game of Thrones for some reason listened to this podcast.
I kind of thought that maybe it was like, you know, first it was a two shot, and then they're like, you know what? Widen out.
And they, she just had
this. They swapped a lens or they moved the frame over.
But usually everything in that general direction that yeah, we're shooting
should be cleaned out.
Us and the on-set dresser and the cameraman, we all make sure that there's nothing in shot.
That's but I tell that. You know, how many times has someone grabbed a coffee cup at the last second just before a roll?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what?
Water bottle?
You know who should have noticed?
Who?
The camera operator.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're actually the one that's really in charge of the frame.
And what's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think
I mean, it's sole blame. No, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's a lot of people that snuck by. I mean, you've already made that.
And these things happen. I've worked on many, because there's reshoots of things. Yeah. There's plenty of this that goes on. Everybody knows that nowadays because of the internet and people know this information. But like I worked on Wolverine, the first Origins movie, but I worked on the reshoots.
Mm-hmm.
But the reshoots was like a month and a half or something of shooting.
Yeah.
And I went and watched the movie in the theater and like 60% of it is stuff that we redid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking as I'm watching the movie, I'm like, what did they do? Yeah. What did they do in New Zealand?
Well, the same thing happened to me with the Predator reshoots.
Right.
We did it in 3 weeks. We shot about, you know, 50 to 60% of the movie, including most of the ending. But then you're trapped, kind of, right? You're kind of handcuffed to continuity that's been established by someone else.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
And then they want to change things, and you're sort of like, I don't know.
Yeah. I remember actually the first time on Wolverine that exact thing happened because I had never put on the Deadpool swords, but it's not Deadpool, it's Wade Wilson at the time, right?
It was Deadpool.
I don't know.
It's before the first Deadpool movie.
Yeah, it was the Wolverine Origins movie. But it's like a different story of Deadpool. I don't know. Dude, I can't keep up with the comic book stuff. But
he fixed it in Deadpool 2, as we all know.
That's right.
He cleaned up the timelines.
Yeah, but so in that
movie. In a set of reshoots.
In that movie, though, he's Wade Wilson.
Yeah.
Normal Wade Wilson, not Deadpool yet. And he's wearing those swords, the Deadpool like sword katanas. Scabbard, the katana scabbard, right? So I put the scabbard on him, and I'm not going to say what it was like, but I had to fix it. I was like, uh-oh, because they had been shooting somewhere else, and they came here, and we just opened up all the stuff. Then all the actors came and did it, and we were just, like, trying stuff on them for the first time. And I was like, oh, boy, that is about to shoot, so I'm using zap straps to, like, tighten it and make it straight, and oh, God. And then Ryan was like, oh, great, this feels way better. I was like, yeah. Probably.
You know, okay, let's just talk about this for a second.
Sure.
At no point in the history of Earth has any fighter, warrior, military personnel
wore
a sword on their back. Okay, that is 100% film thing.
Are you sure, though?
Yeah, because, and I'll tell you why.
You can't get it out.
Because the length, okay, so if I had a sword on my back, the length of my arm is not long enough
to get it out of
the
scabbard.
To pull the sword out from my back.
Okay? Yeah.
No one has ever done that. And you would put it on your back if you were traveling and you had like a dagger on your belt.
Okay, but
no one ever goes to battle with a fucking sword
on their back.
On their back, okay? So just, everyone just calm down, because I feel like this is one of those situations where
we're going to catch flack over this.
No, we're not. Because no, sure? This is one of those things where filmmakers they dupe themselves. Because every time I've done a sword on the back, people are like, well, they did it in such and such movie. I'm like, yeah, it was in a movie and it was fake, which is why we have to fake it now, because you can't do it. You can't physically do it. No one can do it. You'd have to have like 6 foot arms to make that action work. I'm miming it now.
We did it on Deadpool, but we had that rat trap version, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's a trick.
It's a trick, yeah.
It doesn't actually work. And you definitely cannot resheathe it.
I mean, think about the great heroes of movie history that have had it, including Daniel Day-Lewis and Last of the Mohicans.
Fake.
He-Man.
Fake. Elaine from Seinfeld.
Dude, so Deadpool. So many.
I just want to say, because it's just one of those things. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Where you have a prop and you're like, by the way, this is like a totally fake thing. And everyone's like, no, it's a real thing. I saw it in a movie. And
yeah.
Like,
They did it in Highlander.
Yeah.
Like, that was TV.
Do you hear yourself? Anyway, that's just my rant, because every time we do it, everyone's always like, why isn't it working? I'm like, okay, because it's not a real thing.
But that's kind of our job, Clayton.
I know it's not. I know it is. But, you know, when you're like, yeah, but we have to fake it, right? Because it's not a real thing. And everyone's like, no, it should be practical.
I did a bad thing the other day that was fake and it didn't look real. And I brought it to everyone's attention and nobody cared. They were like, yeah, it's fine. Whatever. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. You hear that a lot. Which
brings us up to our next topic.
Don't worry about it. What?
Mistakes that me and you have made in movies.
I'm like, oh, well, here we go.
Because right now, Clayton... This is a little segment, and I'll say it in my coffee cup voice, my coffee mug voice. Mm-hmm. Continuity confessionals.
Yeah. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
Oh. I guess this is where we tell people how we fucked up over the years.
I mean, you know, I've done a bunch that were little that no one would ever notice.
I've done thousands that are little.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the amount of times I've forgotten to put a watch on someone or a ring. Yeah,
sure.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Okay, I'll kick it off because I just remembered one.
Kick it off, bro.
In Grace Point.
Uh-oh.
In Grace Point, there was a scene where Michael Peña is being interrogated.
Yeah, I remember.
Do you remember this?
And you didn't have his wedding ring on?
I didn't put his wedding ring on. And he's touching his finger, talking about...
His wife.
And then I looked at it and I'm like, fuck, he's not even wearing his ring. I don't even know if he knows he's not wearing his ring.
Ooh.
And then I brought it in and I was like, hey, can you put this on your phone? And he was like, oh, no.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, no, man. Dude.
He was a funny guy.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Super into music, eh?
Totally.
Yeah, he's a big audiophile.
Yeah, and he loves. I remember back in the day. He
loves live music and stuff.
When I worked on Shooter, I just went and saw Kings Leon in Seattle. Mm-hmm. This was like before they were, you know, huge. And he was like, "Yo, bro, Kings of Leon, man." He's like, "Not many people know that."
That's a pretty good Michael Peña.
He's like, "In Chicago, where I live, like, there's a whole neighborhood that's about indie rock." I was like, "Really? Fuck, that's awesome."
I remember he was always listening to music, and he'd be like, "Hey, let's check this out." You always taught one about talking tunes.
Yeah, good guy.
So that was that one. I just remember that like just now.
I've done worse than that.
That was a bad one. I've done worse than that too.
Way worse.
But I mean, that's one that I do that all the time.
Oh, I almost don't even want to say. Actually, you know what? I'm lying. I've never done any. I'm perfect.
Fuck you.
I don't even know, man. I mean... the Shooter is like the movie Shooter is littered with them. Not just from me, but
yeah,
littered with content.
Here's another thing. Here's us deflecting a little bit. Sometimes, and I've got an example of this. Sometimes you try so hard on set to maintain continuity in something, and then when you watch the movie, they swap a shot in editing, and they cut it in a different order.
Absolutely, they do.
And you're like, fuck.
Yeah. They do it. It's like they don't even care.
Well, they don't care because honestly, if you're an editor, and I know this for a fact, you're looking for performance, pacing, there's a timing, there's a whole bunch of things that you're looking for before you think about continuity.
Yeah, but then sometimes I wonder if they're even paying attention themselves. I mean, not every thousands and thousands of editors out there are obviously different people. But I've had experiences like on Reaper, we did this one scene where the kid in it, he's brushing his teeth and he's being stalked by like a soul, like an evil soul who's like a bug monster kind of thing. So
yeah,
everything around him is like turning into bugs. So he's brushing his teeth in the morning, right? And he reaches down into a shot and then pulls out like a red toothbrush. And then he pulls it up into his close-up frame and there's a bug on it. Right. And then he's like, ugh. And then he reaches down and grabs a yellow toothbrush and then pulls it up into his close-up shot. and there's another cockroach on. He's like, oh God, what's going on? Then he reaches down for a green toothbrush and pulls it up, and there's a centipede on it. So, of course, when we're shooting it,
I see where this is going.
I was all over matching it. I was like, okay, so first he did the red one, then he did the yellow one, then he did the green one, right? And then, and we did it all with like the bugs, different bugs. We like lay a centipede on the toothbrush, and he'd pull it up, and you know, we'd be like with a little bag or container thing to catch it, right? So the bug didn't get hurt. And then I'm watching it on the show, and we shot it all correct. Mm-hmm. And then they edited it completely wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, killing me, man. Like you say, you try so hard, and they just completely, and it had nothing to do with performance, because all they had to do was match the insert shot to his close-up shot, and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Didn't even matter. They just did it wrong.
Yeah.
So there's another side of it, I guess.
The same thing with Altered Carbon Season 1. Can't remember, it's like the second to last episode. He's going on to like the mission.
Right.
And he's got the unicorn backpack, if anyone's watched Altered Carbon. He's got this pink backpack that he keeps all his guns in.
Right.
Kind of like Deadpool's Hello Kitty backpack.
Sure.
So we did the scene where he's got all his weapons laid out and he's packing them. And we laid it out, Damon and I, were like mapped out all of the sequence when he's actually, like the next episode which we haven't shot yet, what he needs to pull out of the bag in what order. So we're like, we're going to make you, Mr. Joel Kinnaman, pack the bag in reverse order.
Right.
So the last thing you pack in there is going to be the first thing you pull out in your mission. And it was like three grenades, a knife in a sheath, the Nemex gun, and then there was the Flechette gun, which had this like clip that came out of the middle.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we want to see him like put the clip in. And we're like, okay, that's cool, because we had it all rigged so that it would like click in with magnets and stuff. Like, that's cool. So he would do that and then put it in the bag. And man, it was like 2 days of shooting this sequence of like him packing the bag, and every time, and he would do it wrong, and we'd be like, no, he did it wrong, like he grabbed the wrong thing, right? It's just like a pain in the butt. Then I watch the show and it's like he loaded the clip twice.
Exactly.
So they showed him like load the clip and then
do it again,
and then it would cut to the stuff laid out and the clip is out.
Yeah.
And then he puts the thing in the bag, and it was like, why did you, like, we shot it all correctly. Why is it like that?
This is what I mean. So for anybody out there, it's probably editors.
Yeah.
That made it all our mistakes.
And now all the editors are like, we're going to start our own podcast.
Called Stupid Props Guys.
Talk about how many times the Props Guys are in the dailies screwing around, wasting all that data.
That does happen a lot too.
Who is it that someone was like, you got to make the dailies at least once?
Oh, yeah. I'm on the dailies all the time. Yeah. On every fucking
Sometimes
show.
I like to just like stay in the frame.
And for anyone out there who doesn't know, dailies are just the stuff that we've shot the day after. Or how do you even describe that?
It's all the footage from one day.
Yeah.
All the raw footage from one day. And then the next day they watch it.
They look at it just to make sure.
Because usually after a 12-hour day, you only have about 10 to 15 minutes of like usable footage so you can quickly watch it at lunch or whatever.
Okay, but in Shooter, there's a mistake.
Yeah, tell that one.
There's a bunch.
Isn't there a big...
I screwed up. I'm just going to take the blame because I'm not...
Okay.
I didn't know that Philadelphia was a one-plate state.
License
plate?
The license plate thing. You and I have talked about the license plate thing.
So there's a bunch of shots. I changed it, though. We do
plates, by the way, in the props department. We do... Yeah. I don't know if that's just Vancouver or if that's all...
No, everyone does that, pretty sure.
When you have what you call your picture cars, so you have the cars that characters drive, the props department puts license plates on.
Yeah, so on Shooter, Philadelphia is a one-plate state, and there's a bunch of shots where all these cars have two plates, front and back.
Because in British Columbia, we have two license plates.
Yeah, so it's harder to do. And
some of them have plate holders that are built into the bumpers, so you can't...
The show I'm doing right now is a one-plate state. But it's like I've gone to the lengths to take it off.
I've been there too. When we did X-Files, it was always the wrong.
Okay, but Shooter has like, oh, it's littered, man. It's littered. One of the flags is hung upside down. Speaking of upside down, there's many. If anybody, you can go on IMDb, everybody, and there's a section in
Goofs?
At the bottom, it's called Goofs. Yeah.
Are those all listed for Shooter?
Yeah, dude. Don't read them off.
I'm not going
to. Don't do it to me.
No, I was going to. No, I'm going to look at my list and see if there's any goofs the show. Fair enough.
But on, you know, on Lucifer, okay, here's the other aspect of these continuity mistakes is sometimes people think there's like meaning behind them. That's my favorite.
That is my favorite too.
Like fans are like, oh, when maybe fans, it was like that because of this.
Yeah,
and this.
Fans justify it. It's and like, so, oh, it's a little clue. It's like, no, that's. I went to
a total mistake.
I went to the washroom and I forgot to reset the.
Okay, well, on Lucifer, the first season of Lucifer, we had all these rando like LG phones, right? That didn't work, and the show didn't want to pay to have the person to come in to like make them have playback and stuff like that, right? So they're just like, no, they can just talk to a black phone. So we were like, okay. Then there's all these scenes where the leads are picking up the phones, and they didn't pay attention to like. How they were in their hand, or they because they're off, right? And they're not actually doing it. So there's all these shots of them talking on the phone upside down. And I would notice it and I'd be like, oh my God, he was on the phone upside down. And everyone's like, no, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's fine. So I made the show. And you can't really tell, but some people did notice, right? Because it's just a black phone and a black case, right?
Yeah.
And then online it came out like, is it because of upside down crosses?
Yeah.
That they did upside down devil. Phones and he's the devil? And then this whole thing on Reddit and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, totally. That's it. What it was.
You guys are real sharp for picking up that.
Okay, but dude.
What?
No, you go.
I was going to tell you one from the Predator movie, which I haven't seen.
Okay.
Okay, what? You're laughing.
No. Tell it.
Okay, so. If you've seen the new Predator movie, there's this.
I can't do it.
So there's a scene where Sterling K. Brown, who plays.
Yeah, I love that guy. He's a nice guy.
Oh, dude, he's awesome.
He's so great.
And he had just, when he came to do the reshoots, he just hosted Saturday Night Live.
Oh, nice.
And he was telling all the stories. He's like, man, it's crazy. You can't even believe how fucking crazy that is to do that. Like, how. Like fly by the seat of the pants that show is. Yeah.
Sketch
so
comedy.
So we did a scene where he comes up with the kid. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh. He comes up, people who have seen the movie anyway, he comes up, they find the crashed Predator ship.
Right.
Right? And this kid knows the code to get into the Predator ship. And Sterling's character, Traeger, wants to get in there. So he brings the kid and is like, okay, you're gonna open the door. So when they shot it originally, it was daytime, so he's wearing his sunglasses. Mm. He has these aviators, right? So he comes up the ramp and he's wearing these sunglasses. They shot that, then they shot on the stage the interior of the Predator ship. So the door opens, he comes in with his sunglasses on, he takes them off, and he looks around the ship. When we do the reshoots, they've changed it to nighttime.
Right.
But they wanted to keep the shot from interior ship when he walks in, because they'd taken that set away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a big reveal shot, and they don't want to redo it.
Oh, my God.
So I have to go, and I'm like, Sterling, I know it's nighttime, but when you come up the ramp, can you put your sunglasses on? And he looks at me, he's like, what? And I have to explain it to him. He's like, okay. I'm like, maybe we can pretend like you don't know what's in the ship. Maybe it'll be really bright.
Totally.
And he's like, okay. And man, then
people wear sunglasses at night sometimes when they're cool.
But apparently.
Put like a pack of smokes in his arm sleeve.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
So he did it. And I have to say, like, I'm always really impressed when an actor makes something really ridiculous seem like.
Look good. Well, that's
totally cavalier. I was like.
That's their job.
Dude, you pulled it off. I was like, I wouldn't have thought twice about that. So he'd put them on. But then in the cut, they don't use the part where he puts them on. They just have him walking up without them. And then again, another shot where we did. He's wearing them.
Oh, God.
And then he comes in the ship and he just doesn't have them on.
Oh,
and I was like, well, why did you use that piece that we reshot with the whole reason that we put them on?
Because they don't care, man. They don't care.
That poor guy. There were so many things on that show that I was like, oh, hey, Sterling, remember in the original shoot you had this thing? Now you have this thing. He's like, mm-hmm.
Poor guy. Well, the movie did well, didn't it?
I think it did.
You know what?
He's a great actor, and I really hope I work with him again.
But like you were saying, that's what actors that's not like when I said that's their job. What I meant was that's why they are actors, is because they can take something.
Yeah, because they have that ability. Cool. They have that, like, how am I going to do this? Oh, I have an idea, and they do it.
But even just naturally, they're just naturally cool people. They're interesting. Yeah, cool people.
Yeah, that's when an actor comes to set and you're just like I want to just watch that person do stuff. They have something that.
But then there's the odd one you work with.
The je ne sais quoi.
I don't understand why. But then you watch them on the show and you're like, actually, they're pretty good.
Yeah,
it comes across. Okay, but one fucking colossal tale of me.
Okay,
doing a mistake and it becoming a big thing. Uh-huh. Not as big as the Game of Thrones coffee cup, obviously. But I think I told you this story. I was working, I'll try and shorten it up as much as I can.
Okay.
But I'm working on this mini series in Calgary. It was like a reimagining of Little House in the Prairie.
Oh, is this the one?
Yeah, with the photo.
Okay, yeah.
So it's this story about a family who lives in the eastern United States in the 1800s, and it's too crowded, so they want to go west, as many people did. They wanted to fill up their chuck wagons with steamer trunks
and carpet bags
and head west, where there was, you know, lots of land and farming and game and whatever else.
Steamer trunks and carpet bags are a trademark of the Propscast.
Exactly. So then... It's kind of like a dark version of it. Like, it's like shows like how hard it was for a family, like just a family of four and a dog to just jump in a wagon and fucking head out
across the continent. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was kind of the idea of it. And it was actually not bad. It was a Disney show, but it was not too bad of a show. But so anyways, there's this scene that when the family, they're heading west and they come to a river, right? So back in the day when you had a wagon, you had to find a spot where you could cross the river. And it was really dangerous because the horses would get swept away. The wagon would get people, you know, the shit would go south really fast, right? So they get to this spot. People used to die in river crossings all the time back in those days, right? So they get to this spot where they find all this furniture and belongings that other travelers have thrown off their wagons because it was too heavy. To make it more lightweight. So the set deck had dressed in all these things like, you know, like instruments and books and, you know, like firewood, just like rando things, like a big pile of it, right? So the director wanted to do these shots of the little girls looking through other people's belongings, and he wanted the one little girl to find a book and then flip through it and then to find a picture. And this was 2004, right? So we didn't have as many resources as we do now. And the director's like, hey, Jordy, can you come up with like a photo? And this was kind of before clearances were a big issue, like getting the rights to do it. And I was like, yeah, okay. So I went to the truck and we had like some internet printouts, like some Google printouts. Because that was like kind of when Google first got popular too, right?
Yeah.
This was before all that stuff. And there was a picture of an old woman that was like a nice little picture size on the piece of paper. So of this printout from the internet. So I was like, oh, great. And I only had about whatever, like 15 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
So I go on the truck. I cut it out. And I glue cardstock backing to it.
I love that you're miming it. Like you're redoing, you're reliving this whole experience.
Yeah. And I tape it. And then I like age it. Like I put a little dirt, little wax on it, a little dust, a little sandpaper. It's good to go, right? And I'm kind of proud of myself. And I run it in and I show the director and he's like, oh, that's great. That's perfect. That's perfect, right? I'm like, oh my God, awesome. So they do an insert shot of it, tight shot of it. Super stoked. Everyone's happy. We all go home. So then 6 months later, the show comes out. Okay. It's aired. I'm on the BC ferry going to Vancouver Island, right? And they have a little snack shop cafeteria on there, right? Mm-hmm. So I go in and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of bored. I'll buy this copy of Entertainment Weekly. So I buy it. I buy it. Okay. I sit down. I'm eating my Cobb salad. I'm thumbing
your Nanaimo bar.
My Nanaimo bar.
Your burnt coffee.
Yeah. My
exactly. Soft serve ice cream.
There's so many options. My BC burger.
Fries with gravy.
And I'm thumbing through this thing. And all of a sudden, I flip to a full page article in Entertainment Weekly about that prom. And the headline is, a little surprise. And it talks about, it's got that picture that I put in there, the one that I made,
yeah,
like full sized on there. And apparently, I didn't know, but that the woman in the picture,
the real life there, woman,
the real life woman was Harriet Beecher Stowe, who's a famous American author, and who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin and all these like great Americana books, right? So then, I guess her son in real life died
at a, river crossing. Unreal,
right? Then, so that this article had thought that that was an homage,
yeah,
to
the author.
Dude, I can't believe it. Like, I couldn't even believe it as I was reading it. I was like, oh my God. And they're like, this is the kind of thing that film school students were writing their thesis on and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my God.
Like, oh, that was a little 15-minute improv.
I don't know if anybody ever realized. I don't know. I don't know whatever. Like, nobody got in trouble for that.
But I love that story because, like, what are the odds that that happened? And then what are the odds that you found that article? In a magazine.
Because nobody would have told me about
ferry
it.
Ferry boat.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because no one else would have known.
But it was just,
it's not like you
new...
were running around telling everybody, like, oh, I put this picture in a book.
Well, do you remember magazines?
Yeah, I
remember. Remember when we used to buy magazines?
Yeah.
I used to buy them all the time.
Yeah,
I bought magazines. Weekly, Men's Health, all that stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I used to read cool magazines, too. Definitely not Popular Science. No way.
Dude, Popular Science is fine,
man. Yeah, it's an awesome magazine.
It's all right. Sure.
And Wired.
Nat Geo. Equinox, remember Equinox?
Oh yeah, I know.
It was like a National. It was like the Pepsi of National Geographic.
Yeah.
Okay, but what other?
That's such a great. I'm glad you finally told that story on the podcast because I love that.
I'll
one.
Probably get in trouble from the Harriet Beecher Stowe.
No
family.
Way! Get out of here.
It was an homage. After it was a mistake doing it, but the final result, sure, it was an homage to her.
Sometimes
son.
You know, sometimes you end up with a coffee cup and. Westeros.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Game of Thrones land.
I have never watched it, man.
And sometimes you end up with a photograph of famous
Harriet Beecher Stowe.
You know, it's a crapshoot.
Oh, dude.
Okay, I've got one, and then it might be time to say goodnight.
What?
Do you have another one?
Dude, I got lots.
Okay, do another
Put
one.
Put a fucking pot of coffee on.
All right.
We're fucking here for a time.
Until your parking runs out.
Oh, yeah.
I've got one from Deadpool 2.
Oh, my God.
And I'm ashamed to admit it. And I think if Dan ever hears this, he won't hire me again.
No. It wasn't that bad, was it?
Okay, well, no one noticed. No one's noticed.
Tell it, man.
For people who have seen Deadpool 2, I don't even know if I've told you this. Okay. Jordy did first unit, main unit on Deadpool 2. I did second unit. Okay, so second unit, we go and we pick up insert shots, which are like tight shots that don't require actors. So we do like, you know, a guy looking at his watch and you see the watch face, right? And it's on a photo double or whatever. So the scene where he puts the toaster strudels into the toaster oven.
It's my gasp.
Yeah, you're shocked already. So so Dan and the lovely people in the office had gone to great lengths to get this American toaster strudel, the flavor. I think it was blackberry.
I think it was wildberry.
Wildberry, that's what it was. And on the box, it had like a purple label.
Yes, it did.
Okay, so when main unit shot it with Ryan Reynolds, he opens a box of the wildberry toaster strudels and throws them in. And as the toaster is heating up,
then the bad guys
come. Bad guys come in and he has a big fight scene. So we shot the inserts with all the knives that he pulls out of the chopping block.
Right.
Right. So they'd already shot the fight scene and we were just doing these really quick inserts of each knife coming out of the chopping block. And Aaron had laid them all. He said, this is exactly the order that they came out in. So I was like, great.
Right.
So this is my whole focus of the day is like making sure I get these knives out of the chopping block
in the right order.
Okay. Because we had to move around the room and do each position, match it, pull the knife out. They want the sheen, you know, the light catches the metal and does a flicker.
Yeah, that was quite the sequence to do that first.
We're doing it over and it took all day.
Yeah.
I had the box of toaster strudels dressed in on the counter because sometimes you saw it in the background, mm-hmm. right? They had also wanted to do inserts of the strudels sitting in the toaster oven.
Mm-hmm.
I had been given a different flavor, a Canadian flavor of the same brand of toaster strudels, which had an orange label. But I can't remember what it was. And in my haste, I accidentally threw the wrong box next to the toaster oven. I put the Canadian brand in.
Oh, no.
And
did it have French on it? Obviously.
Well, it was just that it had an orange label when you clearly saw that it had the purple label when Ryan did his part.
Right.
So if you watch, it kind of, in the fight scene, you can't really see it. But when he goes into the fantasy world, when his girlfriend is there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the lighting is all different.
Dream sequence, yeah.
You really obviously, very clearly see that the flavor of the toaster strudels has changed.
Because it goes back to the purple one.
No, because it goes to the orange one.
I thought we did the dream sequence.
You did do the dream sequence, but they did an insert of the toaster oven because the timer goes click and then he gets sucked out of that.
Oh.
And you see that it's orange. So my thing is, here's my propstification, which is a word to like justify our fuck ups. In that fantasy world, the flavor of toaster strudels is just a little bit better.
Dude, that's good. That's pretty good. And you know what? Deadpool is Canadian.
But it was just such a stupid mistake because like everyone had, like Aaron told me, you told me, Heather told me, Paul told me, Dan told me, like, make sure you put the wild berry flavor in. I'm like, don't even worry about it. I got this. And then I totally fucking blew it. And I noticed it when they called wrap. They were like, I think we got it. That's a wrap. And I looked at the thing and I was like,
and you just get that feeling.
You and I didn't say no, it's a word. I just packed up and walked to the truck and I cried myself to sleep.
Can I make a confession?
I didn't tell Jerry. I didn't tell you. I didn't tell anyone.
Can I make a confession about those toaster strudels?
What? You ate a bunch.
Well, we had a bunch through the boxes and they kept going down to the States to get more of the boxes and whatever else. And I just kept handling them and I'm like, oh, imagine these are really good. I kind of would like to have a toaster strudel at some point. So I went on my own. And I fucking bought like two boxes of them, that wild berry flavor. Yeah. And I ate them all in one night. And they were so good. They were so good, man. And I heated up the little packets in the microwave.
Yeah.
And
with the little
squoze the icing on it.
I used to eat those as a kid all the time. They're so
fucking good, man. God, they're
good. I feel a lot better having finally admitted that.
No, that's what I'm saying. This episode is called Continuity Confessionals.
Cool. That's a big weight off my shoulders.
That's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but that was like, you know, that's the biggest movie I've ever worked
There's been a lot of, I've put a lot of French in shows.
Oh, dude, that's inevitable.
Totally name nom.
Yeah.
The name nom files. Name nom.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody in the States, our like regular file folders say name and nom on
which
them.
Is French
for name. So
on the tab.
Yeah. Where you write whatever it is.
So usually we get like a nice fancy label with like the police precinct logo on it.
Los Angeles
a file
Police
name,
Department.
And you stick it over top of that.
252.
But occasionally you run out of time and you just got to grab a blank folder.
You just got to put the name nom in there.
Name nom. So keep an eye out for that. It's not just us. It's everyone in Vancouver.
Yeah. And so let like.
It's inevitable.
I'm glad that you told me that story.
Thanks, bud.
Because I've done some shit like that before too. I just can't remember right now.
I just felt like it was such a long day.
Dude, it happens, man.
And I noticed it and I'm like, I'm not bringing it up.
Even the other day, I fucked something up. I can't talk about it because it's too close to the show or the show hasn't been released yet. But the other day, I'm looking at the actor and I'm looking at him and I'm like, what's wrong with this picture? And then I'm like, oh boy. You know, you just, it comes to you. But by the time it comes to you, you're rolling or they're moving on. And people don't really understand this, but if you tell them, hey, this is kind of fucked up, they're never going to go, unless it's a really, really bad thing, they're never going to go again because of you. It's not going to happen.
If they've changed the lens.
Yeah, it's already too late.
You're done.
Dunsky.
I have a confession too. So I worked on a little show called Sonic the Hedgehog. And
Oh, we haven't even scratched the surface yet, bro.
I'll just admit it. I put human teeth inside, inside the hedgehog's mouth.
I knew it.
And everyone is really upset about it.
I knew because I saw those dentures in a glass beside your bed. And I was like, Clayton doesn't have dentures.
You know, I was supposed to put the hedgehog teeth in there and I used the human teeth.
Did you use Polydent or Super Polydent?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, but what's that all about?
Well, fans.
Why are people mad?
I don't, because they think he looks weird.
Here's my thing, though. Like, I know people like Sonic. We all like Sonic. Sonic was cool. It was fun. It was a great game. But are people really that big of fans of it that they get upset about this he looks?
This is a thing that my sister's been trying to explain to me, that there is a super niche, really diehard community of people who love Sonic the Hedgehog.
Super niche?
Because he had a cartoon.
Is it like 12 people? That all live in
it's enough to
California?
Make Paramount and Sega rethink the design of a movie that's already finished.
But how much would it be just to redo his face? Probably not that bad.
Probably not bad. I'm wondering, like, what I would like to know is, can you go and change the model and just, does that dictate, like, does it change every shot? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, obviously you have to go every
like, can
frame.
You go in and then go Control C, Control V, cut and paste?
I don't know.
And his mouth changes for every shot. And does she have to re-render it?
No, you have to redo all of the frames.
Just put some clip art over it?
Dude, or just, who cares? Or they should just release a picture before they even consider the concept art and see what the fans say, I guess.
Well, they did.
And they liked it?
No. The thing, here's my thing is, I mean, this is a whole other episode, I think, about fandom.
That is another episode.
Is, well, I don't know.
Who's to say?
It's someone's vision of what this character looks like in the real world, right? And you can either get on board or just don't go see it. But I'm really shocked that they took a step back and were like, you know what? We're going to change it because everyone is really upset.
I wish that people listened to me. About things.
I just, it's a ripple effect though, right? Because the next time this happens for anything like a Marvel new superhero.
Well, I don't like the way he looks.
Yeah. And then everyone's like, well, Sonic the Hedgehog redid
it. Simon the Hedgehog.
I said Sonic.
I know, but it sounded to me like
Simon
said
the
Simon.
Simon the Hedgehog. They changed Simon the Hedgehog. So you should change Captain America.
Dude, it actually looked better than I thought.
The
Sonic movie. I was like, oh, I didn't expect it to. It looks kind of fun.
You're gonna take Kat to see it.
I will. Yeah. Dude, I'll go see anything you work on, bro. Anything. You worked on my favorite movie, my favorite TV movie of all time.
Finding a Family. Mm-hmm. I still haven't watched it.
I don't know, man. I just think that, yeah, it's craziness. Sonic. That
it is
that
crazy.
It's happening. But
it is crazy.
They're doing it. So they're what doing can it. You do? It's not our call.
It's cool. I'm eager to see it. I want to see how it turned out. That's the first time I've worked on a movie where the lead character is not real.
Fair enough.
Have you ever done that? We've done scenes.
Have I?
We've done scenes where that's
not
a case, right? Where something's like, yeah, there's going to be a CG
oh,
thing.
Oh, I worked on the first Planet of the Apes. I guess he was the lead. Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
But he was a
but
guy.
But he was there.
He was there.
Acting like Caesar, right? Whereas this was, we had a empty space and someone reading lines off camera.
That would be tough.
And James Marsden is looking at like a...
Props to James Marsden.
He did a really good job.
No, it's not easy to do.
It's not easy. And you know what? It was actually, from a props perspective, very interesting. Because anything that Sonic touched in a scene, we would have to, like, from shot to shot, be like, in this shot, it can be on the table. And then in this shot, it can't be there because he touches it. So it's going to be CG.
Right.
So we have to have it there for reference and we take it out. Like, it was like every shot you had to think about it.
Is there any mistakes in it?
Oh, I'm sure there is. It was really hard to, like, think about it because Sonic was never there.
Who's Sonic's voice?
Ben Schwartz.
Who's that?
He's John Ralphio from Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
And you've seen him in other stuff.
I'd know him to see
him. You would know him.
I don't know, man. This has been a fun episode, though.
I feel so much better.
I feel better, too. I feel like we got it off our chest.
Yeah, and you know what? The Game of Thrones peeps, you know they took it out, hey?
They just re-scrubbed it?
Yeah.
Fuck.
So if you have like the HBO app or whatever, if you go back to find it, it's gone. They painted it out and then reloaded the file, so that it's gone forever.
And you know what everyone's talking about?
I saved a screen grab so we can put it on our Instagram so people can see it.
I think people have seen it though. But yeah, put it up there.
Yeah.
Can we put
a picture of Sonic?
A picture of the dentures beside your bed.
Yes.
With fucking
free
dent Alka-Seltzer or whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah. That's good for cleaning bottles.
Yeah, you're right. That's a little prop trick.
Mm-hmm. Little prop trick.
Fucking awesome. Okay, everybody. Well,
we're in
an
up?
Hour. Although the other day somebody told me that they wish we went over an hour.
Really?
But I think we'll do that another time.
It feels organic to leave it here on this episode. But you know what? The next time we do a 90s movie or a 70s movie,
we'll go two
hours.
We'll
go a little bit. No, 2 hours.
We'll go 4 hours.
4 hours.
Dude, we'll do. We have to.
You know what we should do is we should do a 3.5 hour episode about really long movies.
I want to do. I want to do a 70s movies one.
We have to do a 70s.
We have to do a 2000s movies too.
We do. Which one's gonna be first?
Step Brothers.
Like you said, Legally Blonde, and I was like, oh shit, was that 90s or 2000s?
That's 2000s, a lot, right? 2000s, man.
We might have to just do like 2000, 2001.
We could.
Break it into 2 year episodes.
2 years. Well, eventually we'll need the content, so it's probably not a bad idea. Okay, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
We appreciate you in every way.
Thanks, of course, to Dan for the music and Amanda for our artwork. And everyone else who's been listening, we love you all. Write us an email, thepropscast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @thepropscast.
Bye for now.
Watch those coffee cups, y'all.
Yeah, watch them. Okay.
Bye. Kisses. You're listening to Continuity Confessionals on CBC Radio 1.
Okay,
we're out.
End scene.